Blog Talk Radio.
If you are in the U.S., it's good morning, but if you are in any other part of the world, it could be good afternoon or good evening for you. However, wherever you're joining us from this morning, it is a blessed pleasure to have you, and I want to bring you greetings from Connecticut. I am broadcasting out of New Milford this morning. And it is not snowing. It's a gorgeous, crisp morning. The beautiful snow lay on the ground. So if anybody wants to do some skiing, you could come to my house. With that being said, today will be an extremely dynamic show. We will be joined during the second hour by the news lady Victoria Gator out of D.C. And Victoria is an award-winning journalist and anchor. And she's also the host of At Home with Victoria. I tell you, I know it is just going to be an amazing show because we had so much fun during our pre-show dialogue. And I know just from that experience that this show today will be an extremely stimulating and dynamic one. Well, you're probably asking yourself, so if Victoria is joining us at 11, what will be happening in the first hour? Well, you remember a few weeks ago, another dynamic woman out of the Maryland, D.C. area, Cheryl Wood, was on the show and you heard me made mention of her book, How I Flatlined and Wake Up in 45 Days, A Guide to Empowered Living. Well, I decided while we wait for to get Victoria on, I am going to be going through that book with you and just highlight the different sections in the book and hope that at the end you will be encouraged to go out and pick you up a copy so that you can wake up from being flatlined as well. And if you have any any situation that you would like to speak about, you can call. The number is 646-915-8166. I want to welcome guest 1328 to the show. Victoria will be joining us at 11. In the meantime, we are going to go through Cheryl Wood's book, How I Flatlined and Woke Up in 45 Days. So the number again to call is 646-915-8166. I would like to open this morning with a quote from Brian Tracy, from the excerpts from the Treasure of Quotes. And the one I chose to share with you this morning deals with overcoming fear and worry. It reads, "The history of the human race is the history of ordinary people who have overcome their fears and accomplished extraordinary things. Do the thing you fear, then the debt of fear is certain. Self-esteem and self-love are the opposites of fear. The more you like yourself, the less you fear anything. Ignorance breeds fear. The more you learn about your subject, the less fear it holds for you. To overcome fear, act as if it were impossible to fail, and it shall be. Think continually about what you want and not about the things you fear." So that's just some word of wisdom from Mr. Brian Tracy. I want to welcome guest 1343 to the chat room. We will be joined by the news lady at 11. And I am sharing from Cheryl Wood's new book, How I Flatlined and Wake Up in 45 Days. Before I get to the book, I also want to read a poem for you. And it reads, the title of the poem is Listen to Your Heart. We all want to make things better in our lives, but lots of times we just don't know where or when to begin. Sometimes we are troubled about something deep inside, and we are afraid of dealing with our problems because we have been hurt before. And we remember what hurts can bring. Making things better involves changing, but change isn't such a terrible thing. Life isn't always easy. No one ever promised that it would be. But it can be wonderful at times, and it is up to us to make those things happen. Where? Begin within. When? With the dawn of each new day. How? Listen to your heart, and it will show you the way. And that was written by Colin McCarthy. You know, that is one of my favorite poems, because our heads are continually playing tricks and games with us. And as you, if you are a long time or frequent listener to the show, are a follower of my word know that I am such an advocate of listening to your heart, because that's where our authenticity comes from. And when we do that, we will always be on top of what is going on. So I just thought I would share that with you this morning. Now, I want to welcome guest 1377 to the show for the remainder of 49 minutes. I will be working from Cheryl Wood's book, How I Flatlined and Wake Up in 45 Days. The news lady will be joining us at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. She's on for the second hour. So I look forward to having you join us then. Now, Cheryl Wood is a dynamic woman I met last March. I met her at the Winners Summit Conference in D.C. And she, since I met her, she has just took off. She has an organization called Moms Are the Best. And she just about a month or so ago released her first book. And it's called How I Flatlined and Woke Up in 45 Days. And I want to run down the 45 days. I want to run each topic for you so you know that this is a book that you will want to have in your library. And this is a book that will help you to push aside worry and to soar ahead into your greatness. Day one deals with be confident. Two, stay energized. Three, seek opportunity. Four, think like a leader. Five, always smile. Six, set expectations. Seven, make lasting impressions. Eight, exhibit patience. Nine, be optimistic. 10, treat your body as your temple. 11, be kind. 12, don't become complacent. 13, provide service. 14, be open to change. 15, challenge yourself. 16, envision your success. 17, love yourself. 18, persevere. 19, take action. 20, look for the silver lining. 21, use time wisely. Day 22, maintain happiness. And day 23, celebrate yourself. Day 24, control your destiny. Day 25, revitalize. Day 26, protect your mental health. 27, be courageous. Day 28, stay focused. Day 29, be prepared. Day 30, inspire others. 21, love what you do. Day 31, love what you do. Day 32, gain strength. Day 33, discover your purpose. Day 35, respect yourself. Day 36, be humble. Day 37, develop your strengths. 38, monitor your personal growth. Day 39, stay in your lane. Day 40, rise up. Day 41, reach for the sky. Day 42, have a positive mindset. Day 43, stay grounded. 44, slow down and smell the roses. And day 45, be appreciative. Now, it is so comfortably written, and it break down. You could use it almost like a daily devotional or something that you can go through. And I decided I wanted to use it this morning to let you know what the content of the book is, so you can go out and you can support Cheryl. And the great thing about the book is that at the end of each day, there is a page for you to do your journaling. You know that I am such an advocate for journaling. And do not look on it as a duty or a task when you journal. I want you to look on it as fun, something that you are doing as fun for yourself, something that you are doing to create a legacy for yourself. Because you'll be surprised years and months and weeks down the road, you will find out that there are so many things that's written there, and you will want to just keep abreast of that, because that is what will guide you. I want to read from the beginning of Cheryl's book here, where she says, as far back as I can recall, I have always viewed life as the ultimate experience. I live on the premise that no individual should exist aimlessly or without direction and purpose. Life is meant to be lived and experienced. However, somewhere along the line, my lofty ideas of what life should be got lost. My belief system of purposeful living became blurred, and I slipped into a state of aimless, void of progression and advancement. I flatlined. While reflecting on where the initial change within occurs, I think back to the first time I experienced the feeling that I was destined for something more in my life. I realized it was the onset of motherhood that I first experienced these feelings. At the ripe age of 30 years old, after being assured by numerous doctors that I would never have children due to years of medical complications, I received the exciting and shocking news that I was expecting my first child. My world as I had known it, instantly changed. Prior to motherhood, I exist with a sense of contentment about my life. Contentment that I work a good job, earned a decent salary, did not have any serious responsibilities, and could make decisions about my life based on what was best for only me. But with a child on the way, existing only for self was no longer an option. Regardless of how much I might attempt to ignore or distract the maternal feelings within, I did not possess the ability to escape the power and force of motherhood. At 31 years of age, my first born child entered the world and brought more joy and contentment to my life than I had ever experienced. I was unquestionably a new person and a changed woman. Everything I thought I knew and thought I believed prior to motherhood changed. My thought process were different. My choices were different. My life decisions were different. And my inner being was different. The innocent bundle of joy was now my primary focus, and it became clear that the manner in which I live my life would no longer affect only me, but would directly affect this precious child in the present and in the future. For the first time in my life, I began wanting an independence that I had never desired before. I wanted flexibility, and I wanted freedom to be the best mother I could be for my child. But the question kept haunting me: how can I be the best mom to my child if I am confined to a situation where someone else dictates my time and schedule? From that point forward, the idea of creating change in my life was born and would slowly be cultivated. My intense desire for independence and freedom continued to grow. When I was blessed with two more bundles of joy, two sons, a few years after the birth of my daughter, my desire to spend time with my innermost being. Although I valued having a secular job that allowed me to provide my children's material needs, my desire to be the primary influence in their life, to mold and shape who they would become, and to spend the quality time needed to instill high standards of morals, values and principles in their lives far outweighed my attachment to any material positions. I lowered the idea of having my children in someone else's care for 10 to 12 hours a day while I worked outside the home. But as a mother of three, even with my husband by my side, realistically, of financial obligations took precedence, and my desire to be actively involved in my children's lives seemed to fade further and further into the background. I began to feel that my desire was more of an unachievable dream rather than a potential reality. As the cycle continued, the balancing act of my life began to weigh heavily on me, slipping into unconsciousness. The demands of being a wife, mother of three, and full-time employee outside of the home became extremely overbearing. My life had quickly accelerated from slow motion to rapid speed, but it was not proceeding in the direction I desired. Every day and every activity of my life became a rush against the clock. The more I rushed, the unhappier I became, as I realized I was always rushing through my children's lives. My 16 to 17 hour days of getting up at 5 in the morning, working 8 hours a day on a secular job, coming home to handle the household responsibilities of a mother of three, and not going to bed until 10 o'clock or later, became exhausting and grueling. I began feeling empty and hollow inside, as if I were nothing more than a robot or a machine programmed on autopilot. I recall many days I was so drained from the routine that after dropping off my children at school in the mornings, I would sit in my car in a daze, feeling that this vicious cycle would never end. It was taking a drastic toll on my mind and my body. I was spending less quality time with my children and more time stressed about how I would accomplish everything in 24-hour period. I ceased giving my husband and children the best of me. Instead, they were getting the leftovers. The exhausted, overextended, overworked, rushed, and frantic wife and mother who was trying desperately to find balance without any progression. And regardless of my attempts, there was always some aspects of my life that I could not keep up with. My unhappiness was further driven by the fact that my lack of available time for my family forced me to make what I consider to be unfair choices. Either sit at the dinner table to enjoy a meal with my family in the evening, or head to the laundry room to wash and iron clothes in preparation for the next day. Either spending quality time reading and playing with my children after school, or make lunches and pack snack bags for the following school day. either spend quality time nurturing my relationship with my husband or go to bed at a decent hour to get enough rest to remain energized for my grueling routine. Even my weekends became a self-debate of whether to handle household chores or spend quality time with my family. There was always something that lacked the attention and focus it needed with my household. I began feeling deeply frustrated. And irritated that I could not find a way out of this chaotic lifestyle. And the more I focused on how greatly I detested all the rushing, the hurrying, and the choices of how to allocate my time, I started to become sluggish and depressed. I was wide awake, yet unconscious. I desperately desire independence, freedom, flexibility to prioritize my life as I deemed necessary. I wanted to work hard, but my life, I wanted to work hard for myself. I wanted to set my own hours and have a flexible schedule to attend field trips and PTA meetings at my children's school, and I wanted to experience true happiness, doing something I love and was passionate about. Instead, I was taking a quick downward spiral fall, and it seemed there was no way to stop it. Before long, I completely flatlined. It was as though I was lying on the hospital bed and could not see the doctors working to revive me. But with no response, no vital signs, no heartbeat, despite my diligent effort to get up off the hospital bed, I could not move. I was paralyzed into inactivity, immobility, and lifeless. As I slipped deep and deeper into flatlined, conditioned my focus, my drive, and my enthusiasm for life itself dwindled. The happy, outgoing, motivated woman I had previously been was gone. This new person was the complete opposite of the real me, unhappy, unmotivated, and unfulfilled. I lacked all of the luster of my true personality and remained in this unconscious state for several years. I was a shell simply existing. My flatlined condition had targeted my mind, body, and spirit. My road to discovery and recovery. I want to welcome guest 1542. To the chat room. I am reading from Cheryl Wood's book, How I Flatlined and Woke Up in 45 Days. Victoria, the news lady, will be joining us at 11 a.m. So thank you for joining us this morning. I began to wake up every morning disgusted and lacking contentment in my life. The energetic, enthusiastic woman I used to be began to fade until I finally reached a point where I knew it was time to recover. I was cheating my husband and my children of the empowered woman they deserve to have in their lives. More importantly, I was cheating myself of the empowered life I deserved. Using my time to sulk and express disgust instead of devising a plan and creating the life I deserve. As I began focusing on waking up out of my flatline condition, I had to establish what the driving force was behind my state of depression and unhappiness. I had to get to the core of the problem. And I began to realize that my condition was not as simple as exhaustion or burnt out from long days or lack of rest. It was much deeper. These feelings of fulfillment and discontent centered around my desire for independence, freedom, and flexibility in my life and having control of my day-to-day schedule. My condition was primarily related to the fact that I wasn't living according to my true purpose. I had reached a crossroad in my life. We yearned for more. The need to be a part of something purposeful and meaningful. The time had come for me to discover my purpose and pursue my passion in life. So I began taking baby steps toward creating the fulfillment I desire and deserved. I want to welcome guests 1720. We will be joined in 22 minutes by the news lady, Victoria Geza, who is the host of At Home with Victoria. At the moment, I am reading from Sherry Wood's book, How I Flatlined and Woke Up in 45 days. Thank you for joining us. When I stepped out on faith and started taking control of my life, I began to see glimpses of recovery by means of discovery. My first step towards recovery was to implement a powerful change that would assist me in achieving all of my goals simultaneously. I stepped into entrepreneurship. Before I decided what businesses I would pursue, I brainstormed on what was important to me, what could change and grow with me, what I would always enjoy doing, and what would demonstrate the fire and passion within. I took the time to read books, learn about numerous success stories of women who had changed their lives throughout entrepreneurship, and start networking with other positive, like-minded women who had already accomplished what I deserve. Well, welcome, Miss Cheryl. I know you're probably excited to hear I'm using your book in the first hour of the show. I knew I possessed the talent, skills, determination, and focus to my own business and to make it successful in an effort to create change in my life. I recognize that entrepreneurship could offer the potential for me to gain the complete freedom I was looking for. Financial freedom, freedom of time and schedule, freedom to prioritize my life the way I deemed it fit, and freedom to live on purpose and with passion. Once I overcame my own doubts and fears and moved full speed ahead with the thing for me, it was empowering other women and moms. That brought me to, that brought me the most joy in life. My small business, Moms Are the Best, was born in June of 2009. I quickly discovered that I had choices in life, that I could not reclaim my independence and freedom, that I could pursue what I was passionate about, helping others, and earn a living all at once. And I discover that my destiny was completely in control. Of course, as with my endeavor, the what ifs were lingering in the back of my mind, but I knew I could never experience the life I wanted if I had never put forth the effort. I owed it to myself, my husband, my children, the experts everywhere, everything within me to create this life change. By taking the leap of stepping into entrepreneurship, although I continued to work a full-time job, my eyes were open to the world of fulfillment and inner joy because of the limitless opportunities I could create for myself while enjoying my passion. Not only did I step into my purpose, but I began changing others' lives in the process. As I reflect back, I often wonder why I didn't have the courage to take this step and embrace my God-given talents much sooner. As with so many who are reading this book, I possess certain skills and talents, but I refuse to embrace those skills and talents in order to live my best life. Perhaps it was a fear of failure, fear of success, or simple affair of the responsibilities that came along with effecting change in other people's lives. But I began to see that nothing could replace the happiness that comes with stepping fully into your passion and purpose. Now, these many years later, flatlining, I finally embrace my talent to empower, inspire, and motivate others as a speaker, motivational coach, workshop facilitator, and author. It is the thing I was meant to do, what I was created for, and I accept my responsibilities that came along with it. Fear no longer controls my life or paralyzes me into activity Rather, I control my own destiny. I want to welcome guest 1542 to the show. Thank you for joining. Thank you, Cheryl. Victoria will be joining us in 14 minutes. I decided, Cheryl, that I wanted to use your book on the first hour of the show, and with the anticipation that people will run out and get the book and to support you with that. So go ahead and put the site in the chat room, Cheryl, of where they can pick the book up. I'm not sure if the other guest that's in the chat room, if she has it, he or she has it already. But if not, this is a must-have in your library, okay? I want to finish this last portion here. And I'm not going to go into the 45 days. I just wanted to give you a glimpse of what's in the book and encourage you to go pick it up. I want to welcome guest 1837 to the show. The news lady will be joining us in 13 minutes. At the moment, I am reading from Cheryl Wood's book, and she just put the link in the chat room where you can pick this book up. It is an easy read for those of you who are traveling on the train or other public means of transportation. You can actually use it like, you know, like you would do a daily devotion, and you can have it there with you. So the last section I want to share with you, and I encourage you to go get the book and go into the 45 daily activities. I had read those at the top of the hour. So if you came on after I read those, go back to the archive so you can hear what's there, and you can see that it is really deserving for you to spend your money. The transition to empowered living. The only resolution for existing my flatlined condition was to reach a subconscious level of joy, happiness, and inner contentment, and then begin working on the actual reality. I had to change my mindset and focus on what I truly wanted to achieve in my life, my dreams, my goals, my aspirations, my ambitions. I had to dismiss all doubts and fears, overcome roadblocks, and develop the confidence within that I could change my life and accomplish anything I set my mind to do. Once I developed the optimistic mindset, I never looked back. Every day I began celebrating who I was as a person, my natural talents, my skills I had developed in life, the characteristics I had refined, and the qualities I possessed. And that celebration continues to this day. As I set out on a mission to fulfill my own destiny, I discovered my innate ability to empower, inspire, and motivate others, especially young girls, women, and moms, to discover their purpose and passion, to overcome roadblocks to successful living, and to set high expectations for their lives. I began sharing my personal story of recovery through my 45-day empowerment guide that I devised and implemented based on how I desire to live my own life. Each day, I implemented one empowerment tip towards living a more fulfilled, meaningful, and happy life. Now, I gladly share with you my 45-day guide to empowered living. As you build on each day of empowerment, you will begin to feel refreshed, renewed, re-energized to live your life with positivity, purpose, confidence, courage, tenacity, and boldness. Take advantage of the journaling page to the right of each empowerment tip to promote a deeper understanding of how the empowerment tip is transformed you into a new person. I recommend reading the daily tips at the start of your day as you are having your breakfast or morning coffee before you step outside your door or start working on projects for the day. Welcome Mr. Michael K to the show. I am waiting for the Queen to arrive in 8 minutes, and in the meantime, I'm reading from Cheryl Wood's book. I also want to take this opportunity to welcome guest 1994 to the show. The empowerment tips to penetrate your heart and to mold you into a person who sees life through glass eyes. With positivity, joy, and focus, as you journal each day, be honest and forthright in your observations of your personal behavior, patterns, and thought process, and determine how you can implement positive and progressive changes in your life. Focus on how each tip can help you to become a stronger, wiser, happier person, family member, community member, and member of society. I have also included 2 reaffirmation oaths at the conclusion of the 45-day guide to empowered living for you to repeat as often as necessary. The reaffirmation oaths will serve as reassurance that you have what it takes to reach for the stars and live the life you deserve. The oaths will provide empowerment and inspiration, whether you are experiencing a day where you feel motivated, determined, and focused, or if you are experiencing a day where you feel unmotivated, challenged, unfocused. Continue to repeat the reaffirmation oaths to build confidence in your ability to change your life. Never forget that life is an experience and you should never let it pass you by. Starting today, join me as you become BAD, bold, audacious, determined. You deserve it. Well, powerful, Cheryl. I just hope that people will go out and pick the book up. It is amazing work that you have assembled here, and I am just praying that people are really utilizing it, because everyone at some time or another falls into unconscious state. And this happens a lot with women, because I have noticed that a lot of women have a great desire to go around to get other people's approval to step out into their true calling and purpose. And men, they get up and they take action, and they make things happen. So here you have given women and girls a tool that can help them. You know that I am very proud of you for that. Well, good morning, caller. You're on there. Your first four digits are 410. Welcome to the A New Day Show.
Hi, this is your guest, your 11 o'clock guest. I'm a little early, Victoria Gaither. How are you?
Good morning, Victoria. No, you are quite on time. As a matter of fact, I did not book another guest for the first hour. I actually worked from Cheryl Wood's book, How I Flatlined and Woke Up in 45 Days, because I know that this is a book that people need to get into their library. So I just decided I would devote the first hour. So that's what I did.
I think that is absolutely wonderful that that you did that, because, you know, Cheryl Wood is also a very good friend of mine, and we connect doing a lot of things. And in fact, Moms Are the Best gave me an award for journalism for my community support. And her book, you're right, it should be in every single library. Every single woman in America should have the book, because there's many, many life lessons that you'll be able to learn in that book.
Yes, yes. You know, Cheryl and I actually met last March. I was down in Maryland to attend Deborah's conference, and that was where I met her. And she has such a sweet spirit, and we connected.
Yes.
And I tell her, I'm here to serve and add value. So, you know, use a sister up when you can. So, I am so excited. I feel so blessed and privileged. And your sidekick is also here. He's been hanging out in the chat room. So I
yes.
want to welcome Mr. Michael Kay to the show.
Michael Kay, let me just say a quick thing about Michael Kay before we get started and I start rambling on about me. Michael Kay is the best producer and best entertainment reporter that a girl could have. I mean, he's not only does all of those functions, he's also my friend and my sort of right hand, and I've come to rely on him for many, many things in my life. So I'm so blessed to have him. And I know you've spoken to him many times. You just got to love him. Isn't that right?
Oh, my God. He is so sweet.
I know.
So sweet.
He loves you, too.
And he's cute, too, because I'm always just seeing the top portion of him. And then when he was down in Delaware, that bake shop,
yeah,
I actually
Dana, yeah.
saw the full person. And I got to tell you, he's a cutie.
He is, isn't he?
Boy, I'm telling you. But, you know, everyone deserves to have the support, Victoria, that Michael provides for you, because this alone rangership is all gone.
We need to
collaborate and things and do things together, and it brings such rich value in each
yes.
of our lives.
Yes, yes, yes. I definitely agree with you on that, because – Michael Kay joined me as a result of Facebook. That was where I found him, sort of networking.
Wow.
And somehow, I think it was a show that I did with HSN and fashion designer Anthony, who has a $1 million industry selling his wonderful clothing. And
mm-hmm.
Michael followed Anthony. So Anthony happened to be on my show. So that was Michael's first introduction to At Home with Victoria.
Wow.
Ever since that date, you know, he not only fell in love with me, he always promoted my shows. And, you know, little did I know that he early on in his career was interested in doing radio.
Mm.
So there, and we had the conversation. Maybe you'll have him on one day and he can tell you.
Oh, yes, yes. As a matter
yeah.
of fact, I'm going to see if I could schedule him for next week. Yeah, he and I spoke about it last week. I tell you, Facebook is just an amazing thing, because I'm going to get you to introduce yourself. But that's how I met you, because when you were going to have Cheryl on, she sent
mm-hmm.
me the notice that she was going to be on your show. And I got it, and I thumbed through all the things there, and I said, what an amazing woman. I would not have known about you if I did not meet Cheryl. And
yes.
so I want to do it the right way. The news lady, I want to take this amazing opportunity to welcome you to the show. And if there is anybody in the world who really don't know about you yet, I want you to take the first couple of minutes and just introduce yourself to my listeners, please.
Well, and first of all, again, thank you so much for having me on the show. We kind of went back and forth a little bit, but we finally was able to connect with the help of Michael Kay. But I am known as the News Lady. I affectionately got that nickname when I used to be a news anchor and reporter in the Midwest, and I would go out to different communities and cover stories. And every time I'd get out of my news car with my camera guy, all of the kids and teenagers would say, "There's the news lady." So it sort of started there, where people started calling me the news lady, and I've sort of kept that name. So when I signed up on Facebook, many of the listeners and viewers that knew me in the Midwest reminded me that they used to call me the news lady,
news lady.
I had completely forgot about that. So ever since Facebook has started, people would refer to me as the news lady, so the name just kind of stuck, and I just kind of thought, oh, that's really cool. I don't mind being known as the lady who gives you news and information, especially good news and information.
That's what I was thinking, especially good news, you know?
Yeah, because so with that said, I've been a television news anchor. My goodness, I've been in the news business for almost 20 years now. Started out with an internship in D.C. with Ted Koppel when he worked for ABC and Nightline.
Oh,
so
the best. He was the best.
Yeah. And if anybody knows anything about news, back in the day, Ted Koppel was the man. So to be
He was the man. Ooh, that voice and that man, he was powerful. Powerful.
He knew
his craft and he delivered it well. You know, I am so excited about our dialogue and for your willingness to come on and share your story, because I am sure that you have encountered, just as I have, numerous people who are on a quest for microwave results. A lot of people think that I want it and I want it now. And, you know, just briefly talking to you, you had to pay your dues to be standing where you are today.
Oh, yes.
So, in the early times, what were some of the challenges that you encountered?
Well, first of all, one of the challenges that I encountered was just being a young woman getting into the news business. Now, I have to say, I was very fortunate that I had a lot of men and women to help me. And I'll tell you, the reason why everybody helped Victoria was because I had a positive attitude. So positive attitude is very key. So I was the type of person in the newsroom when the news director or an editor would say, hey, we need somebody to do whatever, whatever, I was the first person to raise my hand and say, I'll do it. So I was one of the type of people that was really, really positive, and so I got a chance to do a lot of things. So while a lot of other people in the newsroom didn't get a chance to do many things, and I look back on that now, that was as a result of their attitude. So in terms of challenges, most of the challenges that I faced were basically putting myself in different situations that I hadn't had experience and didn't know anything about that particular situation. But the good thing that came out of it was that I learned quickly, sort of by baptism of fire. You know, when you put yourself in situations, I learned quickly that I was able to do whatever it is, the task that was given to me. Like, I remember one time one of my news directors had a special show, and he asked me if I would produce it. And normally the special projects person would do that. And I was scared to death, and I remember going back to him later saying, why did you ask me to do that? Because I didn't really have the experience to do it. And he said, well, Victoria, I asked you to do it because you're very positive and you're hungry for things. He says, we knew that you weren't going to fail at it because there were other people around you to make sure that what you were doing was on par with what we wanted you to do. So I say that although I had challenges like that, they were good challenges, but it was me putting myself out there saying, hey, I'm available. Like another example, everybody hates to work the graveyard shift, the night shift. Well, and they were trying to find somebody to work the night shift to do some, I can't remember what it was. Well, I jumped at the chance to work the night shift because I knew that if I worked the night shift that I was going to get the opportunity to not only learn that particular skill, but, you know, the night shift, management's not around, so you have more leeway to do many different other things. So I worked the night shift for about 6 months, and as a result of that, I learned so many different set of skills in television that I wouldn't have had the opportunity to learn had I stayed on the day shift. But mm-hmm. they could get nobody to do it, and I jumped and raised my hand, and I said, you know, what the hell, I'll go ahead and do it. It's not
That's
a big
right.
deal for me. So
I was
always the type of person who was very quick to raise my hand to jump in and say I'll do anything if
That's
it
right.
was going to help me.
Right. You know the amazing thing about what you just said that – I just picked out of all of what you just said, Victoria, is that when you are a student, you look for opportunities and you take
yeah.
action. A lot of people are sitting in their recliners, sunbathing and waiting for the perfect opportunity. And that's going to happen unless you take action. So if it means that you got to do the janitorial work, you do that to get your foot in the door.
Absolutely.
And turn up every time there's an opportunity. I'm here. I'm
yes.
here. And
yes.
people will be attracted to you and to
yes.
your eagerness, your enthusiasm,
mm-hmm.
because people don't want people around them who are slouchers and complainers.
That's true. That's true. You know, you're very good, I must say, at summarizing what people say. I noticed that when we talked yesterday, you have a very wonderful gift and talent for that. But you're right. You have to not only decide that you're going to do it and put yourself out there, but you have to act on it. And by acting on it, you know, you then benefit from the results and you get the reward as a result of that. But something that you said that made me think about a young lady that I talked to who was interested and kind of knowing, you know, how I got to where I am. And I told her, you know, I attend a lot of events and, you know, you've got to put yourself out there. So I asked her, I said, well, you know, do you go to events? What are the things that you do? And she says, no, I just kind of sit at home. And then I said to her the exact same thing that you said. I said, sweetie, sitting at home is not going to cut it. You
That's
know,
right.
If you're interested in whatever field that you're interested in, get out there and be a part of it. You know, every single organization in America has some type of professional association or some type of professional group. I'm like, you know, link yourself up with one of those professional groups. I guarantee you they have monthly meetings. Go to the meetings. Tell them who you are. Tell them what you're, you know, what exactly you're looking for. But this idea that mm-hmm. you're going to just sit at home in front of your computer, you know, and something magically is not going to happen, that's just simply not the case. Now, the computer is a tool to help you get there, but it's not going to do everything for you.
That's right. After you have the relationships in place, you can use the computer to nurture them. But people need to see you. You need to go out there, and you must mingle. It is so important. It's not happening for you if you just stay inside. And
yes.
Victoria, we're going to be going back and forth. I felt led to ask that question I asked you about the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
However, I want for you to share a bit about your beginnings, your early beginnings in life.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Sure. You know, this whenever I get interviewed by people, this is my favorite part to actually talk about because I was born and raised in D.C.
Ah.
And what was wonderful about D.C. was that somehow within me, and I just have to say it was a spiritual thing, I knew probably when I was about 5 or 6 years old that D.C. was a very important place. I knew that living in D.C. was a big deal because there were people that came from all over the world just to see D.C. There were people that came all over the world, you know, to go and visit the White House, to visit Capitol Hill, to see all these historical places. So I knew from the get-go that I lived in a very, very special place. So with that said, something that I remember about myself was that For some reason, I still don't know how I knew this. I think it was because I took public transportation, the bus, a lot. I could tell you every single federal government building that was downtown. So whether it was the Department of Treasury, the Department of Health and Human Services, if it was OSHA, if it was the Department of Agriculture. So all the federal buildings, I knew where they were. I could tell you exactly where they were. So it's funny because it wasn't until later on in life that I realized as a youngster, somehow I had already developed an interest in news and information. And, I really believe that was two things as a result of me growing up and living in D.C. And I think it also was a result of my grandmother, because my grandmother, and also including my mom, they would always make sure that we watched the news so that, you know, I don't care if we were watching cartoons or if we were watching our favorite, you know, sitcom. We always had to make sure that we watched the news, because I always remember my grandmother saying, well, you need to know what's going on inside your community and where you live. So I really have to sort of, I think, attribute my television career to, you know, a family that had a love for news and also growing up in D.C. And the last thing I would say is storytelling. My grandmother loves telling stories, and she has a kind of an interesting way of telling stories where she's very animated and she uses her eyes and facial expressions a lot. And it wasn't until there again that I was an adult that I realized that I like to tell stories and I love to listen to stories. I love to listen to people when they say, oh, I've got this story to tell you, or I remember when such and such. I love to sit down and listen to people talk and tell stories. So my early years were just wonderful for the mere fact that I lived in D.C. and grew up in D.C. So it was nothing for us, you know, to go over to the U.S. Capitol. That was during the time before they had the barriers and all that stuff up. And, you know, you could play, you know, play on the grass and run around and do all these different things. So from that point of view, I was very, 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 very blessed. And then the elementary school that I went to, which is called Brent, is a couple of blocks from the U.S. Capitol. So I went to school right there on Capitol Hill. And looking back on it, most of those kids that I went to elementary school with were kids whose parents were congressmen and senators and diplomats that came to the U.S. So, you know, so I think definitely for sure my upbringing really had a result to do with my career in terms of picking journalism as a career choice for me. But I had a really, really good upbringing just being in D.C. because there's always something to do in Washington. I mean, I don't care, you know, who you are. You know, Washington is great because you have all the museums and the monuments and it was free. It doesn't cost you anything. So even, for example, my mom in the summertime, she would always make sure that different parts of the summer that she would put us on the bus and we would go down to the mall and we would go to different museums and stuff. So we were very fortunate that we had family members that made sure that we took advantage of things that was in our own backyard. Because I remember my grandmother would say, well, you know, there's thousands and millions of people that come to see this place, so if they're coming to see it, then something. You live here, you need to take advantage of it.
That's right. What a legacy. What a legacy to speak about. I'm sitting here with a big old grin on my face because I have a good friend who was born and raised in D.C. She lives here now in Connecticut. And everything that you just expressed about D.C. and your childhood is the same thing that Trisha Cook tells me about D.C. So I don't know if she's listening online or something, but she's going to be so proud to hear all the things that you have said. We have a caller, so I want to find out if the caller has a question, and then we will continue, Victor, with the conversation.
Sounds good.
Caller, your first three digits are 561. Do you have a question or something you want to say to Victoria, or you're just listening? State your name and where you're calling from, please. Well, I guess the caller is just listening. We thank you for listening. Okay. So let us continue here. And Okay, now the caller has a question. Let me go back, if you don't mind, Victoria.
Oh, yes, no, go ahead. I'm fine.
Caller, good morning. Your first three digits are 561. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Good morning. This is Angela Williams, and I'm calling from sunny South Florida. I'm just listening in today, enjoying the conversation. Don't have a question. Just wanted to give a shout-out and let Victoria know that we're supporting her as we're listening today.
Oh, thank you so much. We really,
really
appreciate you. And you go on Twitter and Facebook and get all the followers to call in. They got to support the news lady and Dynamic Daphne. We need their support.
Well, let me ask you this question. Angela, let me ask you this question. I'm sitting here in D.C., and it's very, very cold. What's the temperature in Florida like today?
I think it's like 74, 75.
Oh,
it's a beautiful day.
You know, it's not.
It is absolutely a beautiful day.
Angela, it's a beautiful day here. It's just a beautiful, crisp, cold day.
Right.
Oh, Victoria, you know not to ask people in Florida that question. They brag.
I know, I had to.
But we love them. We love them. And Angela, we thank you for your support this morning.
You're welcome.
While you're at it, at the end of the show, please mark the show favorite and become a friend so we too can become family.
That sounds like a plan, Daphne. You have a great conversation.
Thank you so much, Angela.
Okay.
That's wonderful. Isn't that something? Social media
is
the best thing since salvation, I'm telling you.
And you know, Daphne, and you and I there again had this conversation yesterday when we were talking about social media, and you touched a little bit on it in the top of the hour as our conversation started. I love the ability that somebody like Angela, who lives in Florida, can pick up the phone or have her computer and join in on our conversation and be a part of it. And, you know, and she's somebody that we've never met before, but
exactly.
She becomes our family just because she's listening to us and supports the show. Is that not the greatest thing in the world?
It is. It's just a blessing. And the person that created Facebook, if he was not obedient to his calling that God gave him, you and I would not be speaking right now. There is another caller. I want to put the person on the air. Caller, your last four digits are 7589. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Good morning. This is Cheryl Wood, Moms of the Best. How
morning.
Are you, ladies?
Hello.
Miss News Lady, how are you? I am so happy to hear you on the show. I knew I couldn't miss this show. You should have seen me rushing to drop off the kids so I could get back and listen to the show.
Darling, I am wonderful. Ooh. And we talked a little bit about you. I don't know if you heard the top of the show, but you know, you really are somebody who's just absolutely special there. I mean, like, I get the opportunity, Daphne, to meet a lot of special people because, you know, with my work that I do as a television journalist, but this lady on the phone here is special. Just special.
Yes, she is. I met her last March, and she just carved out a section of my sweet little Caribbean heart. You know, she has such a sweet, genuine, authentic spirit. And, hey, we together forever, baby girl.
Exactly. Well, I don't want to keep talking about me. I love you guys so much for mentioning me and for reading from my book this morning. And, yes, I've been listening to the show, but I just had to call in because – I adore you, Daphne, but I absolutely love the news lady, and I love the support that she gives to so many small business owners. I mean, she gives, you know, opportunities for us to be able to share our mission and our vision with other people, and I'm like, you don't find a lot of people who do that willingly and who don't always attach a price tag to it, and that's
Amen.
The thing
that's
that makes it such a blessing. So she's opened up a lot of doors for me and connections for me, along with her wonderful co-host, Mr. Michael Kay, who I adore, and I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to both of you for being supportive of small businesses, because without those connections and without those doors, we couldn't continue to do what we really want to do and live the life that we want to live. So thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much for that
endorsement and affirmation, Cheryl. And you continue doing God's work.
Thank you. I'll be listening on to the show.
Okay. Thank you for calling in. You're amazing. Isn't it wonderful
when people
take the time to show gratitude and appreciation? Because, you know, money is essential. But money really cannot take you to the depth of where relationships take you. And that's why it is so important to build them and nurture them.
And, you know, Cheryl Woods, just because we're talking about her, she's kind of timely to fit into the conversation. She's a perfect example of what At Home with Victoria is and what we like to do. So when I started the show, my career as a television news journalist, we would, you know, you go out and you do all these interviews, and, you know, when you see the interview, it's only about 30 seconds of the interview that you have the opportunity to see. And it got to be that I thought, man, you know, if there was a way that I could show more of 30 seconds or give somebody more time to really talk about their product, to talk about their organization, to talk about their community program, then that would just be great. So, of course, with the advent of social networking and I found BTR, I thought, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and do my own show where I can call my own shots and I don't have to have any commercial breaks. I just want to do what I want to do.
That's
right. Cheryl Wood is a perfect example of a guest who came on At Home with Victoria. So what we like to do is try to really nurture relationships so that, you know, I'm not really interested in you coming on my show just one time if you've got a book to promote, but I'm interested in you kind of joining a family so that anytime something exciting that you've got going on, you know, I don't care what it is, I want you to come on the show to talk about it. So, and she's a perfect example of how her being on the show. I remember one of her goals was that she wanted to get her apparel, really cute clothes, by the way, especially
with
I
saw them at the conference.
Yeah, with Mother's Day coming up, you guys should check her out on the internet. She sells these cute tank tops and shirts that say moms are best and just positive things having to do with moms. So one of her goals was she really wanted to get those inside of different stores. And, you know, she's like, I can't afford to do that, but that's what I really want to do. So needless to say, Daphne, she comes on At Home with Victoria, and a lot of my faithful followers, listeners, and fans have a boutique. So I think right now it stands at two people as a result of her being on my show saying, hey, you know what, I have my own place, you know, we can work something out, I can help you, and you can get your clothes inside my store. So now you go into Tony's Foster, beautiful boutique at National Harbor outside of D.C., and also my other friend, you go inside their places, and there you have her clothes right there.
Wonderful.
And I'm so proud of her. But that was as a result of her being on At Home with Victoria. And that's
Wonderful.
The kind of thing that I want to do with the show.
Wonderful. Thank you. We have another caller. And caller, be patient with me. I will get to you. I just want to respond to something that Victoria said. Sometimes back, I had a lady on my show. And I called her to verbally thank her for being on the show, and she was not at all enthused. And she said to me, you know, I wish I would be as excited as you are about my being on the show, because when I check my website, I only sold one book. So I said to her, I will not apologize. The one thing I will say for clarity is that I miscommunicated to you. Because when we had our pre-show dialogue, there was nowhere in the conversation I told you that our conversation was going to be based on promoting your book. I told you that you were coming on to share your story, inspire, educate, and inform my listeners. She said, yes, she knew that. I said, on the other hand, if you are interested in promoting your book, we can talk about that. And people have to understand that there's a time and place for everything.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking for one-shot deal. They come out and they hype up, and they just leave people hanging instead of building a relationship. So I just thank you, Victoria, for sharing that. I want to bring caller. Your first three digits are 484. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Victoria calling from, my name is Victoria Kegeni. I'm calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Victoria.
Yes,
hi, Victoria.
Don't you love that name? Lots of Victorias in there.
No, I love you.
Well, I am just thrilled to be on your show, Daphne, and also to hear Victoria. I know I've listened to Victoria on her show. I've listened to you, Daphne, also. But I've not had the chance to call in and actually have you guys hear my voice. So this is me, and just calling to say congratulations on everything that you're doing, and I'm inspired by what I'm hearing today, and how important it is to be able to just nurture each other and support each other.
Yes.
Not always looking to
get
gather
something
bigger
get
than that. Yeah. Yeah,
uh-huh.
So I just wanted to call in and support each other and tell
it's
you I'm listening.
It's good to hear your voice, Victoria.
Yes. So I know everybody else is listening. Cheryl Wood is listening, and we've not had a chance to meet either. But I'm sure we at some point technology affords us that opportunity to meet like this. But we'll find an opportune time and space to actually see each other face to face. But God bless you guys.
God bless
you.
By the way,
before
you go, Victoria, have you picked up Cheryl's new book yet?
I haven't, and I will. I actually I will.
Cheryl,
are you listening? I will.
You got to go get it. Anyway, love you, my sister, and thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank you, guys. Love
you,
too.
Have a great day. It's amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Yes.
It's so beautiful. So beautiful, so beautiful. Yes, you know, I had Lady O on, I think it was last week, I had her on the show here. She's another woman I met, and we were talking about the same thing about relationship. And I think, especially women, when we go out there to do business, I think we ought to focus on giving our best, adding value. Because I encounter a lot of women whose eyes are in people's pocketbook, purses, and checkbook. And because of that, it prevents them from giving the best service that they can, building the relationship to sustain that relationship and getting the result. So what's your take on that, Victoria? Have you encountered that? There are a lot of people who are in business for the wrong reason.
Yeah, well, you know, just being in television news and just being a television news anchor and reporter, you can very, very, very clearly tell. For example, if you're out and about, or you know, if you're at an event and somebody who may not know me, you have conversations, they'll say, "Oh, exactly, what do you do?" And then you kind of start talking and telling them what you do. It's funny that you say that, because there's a look that will come over folks' face when you can tell when somebody just wants something from you. Like they want you to do a story. They have an idea. They want you to help them get this or help them get that. It's this look. I call it a look of greed to me. It's sort of look of greed that instantly comes over their face. So the good thing about that is when I see that look, I, of course, immediately politely turn and walk the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to the story that you told about the young lady who was on your show and only sold one book, that right there just completely, completely makes me sad. And I'll tell you why that makes me sad. That makes me sad that number one, she put profits before her story.
Right,
and that's
right.
That makes me sad that, number two, the only reason why she was interested in coming on your show was to see how many
books
she could sell. And and number three, that makes me sad, because if she continues with that type of thinking, if she continues with that type of spirit with inside her heart, she's never going to sell any books at all.
That's right, because she came just like the people who are meeting face-to-face with their eyes in the people's checkbooks and credit card or whatever. That was the energy she came on the show with. Because if she had been on the show with an energy of adding value,
right,
and
exactly,
just passing on and investing into the listeners,
mm-hmm,
I know she would have been compensated and rewarded royally, but that was not her intention. So
absolutely,
I am quick in sniffing out people. I love what you just mentioned about the look of greed and people's faces. I think it was about 4 years ago, I had an amazing experience at the Power Networking Conference in, I think we were in Cleveland then. And a woman came up, and you know how people push cards. And I was in a conversation with a woman, and this lady was handing me her card. And I gave the person I was in conversation with my undivided attention. But I knew this woman wanted me to take the card, and she kept pushing her hand further and further. And then she kind of moved into the direction so she could face me. She was standing next to the person I was speaking with, and I still did not take the card until the lady and I concluded our conversation, and we shook hands, and we were through there. And then I turned to the woman. I said to her, I'm happy you waited, because I said, what I want to tell you, I hope it will be of benefit to you. If I took your card, I would have been doing you injustice, because I know nothing about you. And when I go back home to Connecticut, where I'm from, I look at your card, it's probably going to go in the trash. I said, when
right,
I take people's cards, I need to understand their story, their mission, and their vision. Because when
right,
I go out, I'm not taking your card with me. So
right,
I got to have engraved in me what you are about,
you
so
are,
that I can help you to think. And she said, nobody has ever said this to me. People always say, when you go to conference, make sure you can hand out. Like if you go to a conference with 3,000 people, they say, make sure you distribute such and such a card. I say, how long have you been doing that? And she told me. I said, what's the result like? She said, very few people. I said,
right.
So that just affirmed what I said to you. So
right,
it's, you know, relationships, relationships, relationships.
Yeah.
If you,
and you know, one thing, and you know, one thing too that I love about our show is that, is that because you're able to build those relationships. Like last night on our show, we had Dana Herbert. He's the gentleman who was on TLC and won The Next Great Baker. And Dana, you know, his wife is expecting, and you could tell that Dana was exhausted. He was just on Good Morning America, and he's been on every single national show, and people are pulling at him here and there. But he made a commitment with his press person that he was going to come on our show, and he came on. And like I said, you could tell during the conversation that Dana was exhausted and he was tired. He was giving it his best.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking at one point during the conversation, we had 45 minutes on the clock, and I knew I hadn't anticipated keeping him that long, because his wife was expecting a child at any day now.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember thinking how happy I was that my parents taught me to be considerate to other people, because here you had this guy who was on my show, who's just extremely exhausted. His wife is about to give birth at any moment. And I remember saying to him during the show, where, you know, thanks for coming on, but we're going to go ahead and let you go, because I know you've got far more important things to do.
That's right.
than to be on our show. And then I could tell he was just extremely exhausted. And then when the conversation was over and the show was over, and Michael and I always do a debrief when we talk to each other after every show is over to kind of talk about the good and bad and what needs to be changed and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And I felt really good about that show, because I felt like I was being very considerate to his
exactly
needs.
And sensitive to what was needed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I would say that too, in the same breath of the example that you talked about, the young lady in the store. At that particular conference, because a lot of times, of course, and you probably get the same problem, you know, when we're out and people find out who you are, everybody wants to talk to you. Now, I'm the type of person, I think you and I are very much alike in this sense. I'm not the type of person who just wants to grab a card and go, like, I really want to talk to you. I really want to spend time with you. So I'm the type of person who will probably sit there all day and make sure that anybody who's waiting to talk to me, that I kind of get to say a few words to you, hear a little bit about what you're doing, because that for me makes the difference between when I get home and I get all those cards and I start thinking about, oh, well, who can I get on the show, or, you know, who can I help with this? So literally it's important that if you can spend just a little time with the person, because, you know, the wheels in their brain may already be turning for something to help you out, and you may not even know it. Like when Cheryl had mentioned that one of her goals was that she wanted to put things inside stores, literally when she said that, I thought, oh, my goodness, I can connect her with this person, that person, and I really think that this could be something that could happen for her. But that right there, I just, you know, thought about that whole thing when you talked about just sort of shoving a card or giving a card mm-hmm. and then walking mm-hmm. away. So, mm-hmm. you know, I would just say, if at all you have the time that you can kind of hang out and just kind of wait, trust me, I think that would really benefit you more than just giving the call
yes.
and walking away.
That's right. Thank you so much for that. I want to take this time to welcome guest 2457 to the show. Please know that you can call in at any time if you want to speak to Victoria. The number is 646-915-8166. Victoria, if there's a person is listening, whether live or on the archive, and they have a burning desire of something specific that they want to do. On the other hand, there are so many people who are rising against them and telling them, oh, you mm-hmm. can't do this because of this, that, and the other. What are mm-hmm. some words of wisdom that you would like to pass on to such a person?
Oh, my goodness. First of all, and I was one of those type of people when I decided that television news was what I wanted to do, there were external forces that thought that I could never, ever do that. And first of all, they thought, people told me because of my skin complexion, because I was a little darker than I guess what you would consider most other people to be on television. So in a case like that, and what happened to me, when any time somebody tells me that I can't do something, I immediately want to do it. So the mere fact that, you know, you actually say, Victoria, no, you can't do it, that instantly becomes a challenge to me that I
right.
want to do it. And you know, I would say secondly, if somebody is negative towards an idea or towards a goal, then my first question would be is why are they so negative towards you? Meaning, are they negative because they're jealous? They're negative
mm-hmm.
because they don't want to see you further. They don't want to see
mm-hmm.
you better yourself. So that question would always have to come into my mind. Well, you know, why is it that this person is so against something that's so positive that I want to do? And I guarantee you, if you ask yourself that question, I guarantee you the answer will come to you very quickly. And then once the answer comes to you, and it's basically an answer because it's some kind of craziness on the other person's part that they just simply don't want to see you succeed and do well. And then once that question there is answered, then it's pretty easy to make a decision and say, well, you know, I'm not going to listen to that, or I'm not going to bring myself down. If this is something that I really want to do, then go ahead and do it. I don't think you should let anybody in the world stop you from doing something that you want to do, because you never want to have regrets. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to hurt you just to try it.
That's right.
Know?
That's right.
Even if
That's
you
right.
think that, I mean, trust me, there are many things that I have tried to do where I, in the world's eyes, I would consider that I was a failure. I've always wanted to learn how to crochet. I took classes, Daphne. I still don't know how to crochet, but
but at least you did. You attempt.
Yeah, I tried. Exactly. At least I actually took the time to try to do it. So now, whenever anybody talks about crochet, although I didn't learn how to do it, I can certainly have an intelligent conversation, because crocheting is very difficult. I mean, you have to have serious skills.
I crochet very well, so I know for about 14 years.
You understand what I'm saying then?
Oh, yeah, I know. For about 14 years, and I did night duty as a nurse. That's how I passed the night. So everyone would get something crocheted for their Christmas or birthday gift. So it is a skill and it is a talent, you know.
Yes.
Because you can always damage those fingers. So you just
yes.
have to work it. I want to welcome guests 2462, 2505, and J. Blair Brown. And don't you love the Holy Spirit, Victoria? Because the minute I asked that question of you and you began explaining, J. Blair Brown wrote in the chat room that he is one of those persons who he could never, I don't know if it's a he or a she, could never do such and such a thing. And the person has surpassed what the naysayers said.
Wow, so, that's exciting.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
That's exciting.
And this is why, you know, I am such an advocate of telling people, get out of your head and stay in your heart.
Yes,
because
I like
when
that.
You do that, your answer is coming. You don't have to run around to get other people's approval, because not only are they jealous, they are looking at themselves and they become so guilty. Oh, I didn't do nothing
yes.
like that. Who
right,
dared them
right.
to come
they
and
convict themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I, you know, I just firmly believe, you know, I would not let anybody in the world tell me that I could not do something. And like I said, even if you try to do it, I didn't look at, you know, me being a quote-unquote failure and not knowing how to crochet, because that experience and taking the classes was a very rich experience for me. I got to meet so many different people. But, Daphne, the cool thing about it was that if ever I want something crocheted, I have about four people that I took that class that I can call and
That's
say,
right.
hey, can you make something for me? So
exactly.
that works to my benefit.
That's right. And maybe the reason for you attending those classes was not to learn to crochet, but to bond with the other people who were in the class.
Yes. Yeah,
you know,
and three of those women, Carrie, Lisa, and Diane, are friends of mine on Facebook, and I still talk to them to this day, and I get so much
right.
joy when
That's
I have
right.
the opportunity to look at the pictures and work the things
mm-hmm.
they've done for their grandkids and friends. I mean, that just gives me so much joy.
Wonderful. You know, oh, my heavens, I don't know where the time is going. Man, the next time, Victoria, I got to have you for both hours on the show. I want to welcome Faith Believer to the show. And Michael K., please go ahead and just write Victoria's information in the room for others to know how to get in touch with her.
I'm definitely on Facebook. You can just two ways. You can go to Facebook, Victoria Gaither, and trust me, I'll accept you. I also have a fan page at Home with Victoria. But for sure, if there's anyone out there, if you've got any great story ideas, or but they have to be positive stories. My whole life I read negative stories, so now
That's
I'm
right.
I'm only trying to do
mm-hmm.
positive stories. If you're a nonprofit, or if you've got a great story, or something that you think that you can provide information that will enrich other people's lives, then just email me, and you can get in touch with me on Blog Talk Radio, or email me through Facebook, or victoriagaither@hotmail.com, and I promise you I'll certainly do my best to make it happen and get you on the show.
Mm-hmm. Would you take a few minutes, please? I want to welcome guest number 2462 to the show. Would you please take a few minutes and speak about each of your show, what people can expect when they tune in, both
oh,
your
sure.
blog talk and also your TV shows. Thank you, Michael, for putting the links in the chat.
Kisses, Michael. Well, yeah, so At Home with Victoria is a show we try to do weekly. It just depends on, you know, sort of what's going on in the universe and our lives and Michael's
mm-hmm.
lives. But we focus on positive stories. Michael Kay is the entertainment co-host, so it's kind of his job to bring these sort of hidden actors and producers and musical guests that perhaps everybody out there haven't heard of yet, but they're equally as good as what they do, and they're on the track to, you know, becoming sort of these national known artists. And
mm-hmm.
then I love to do stories when it comes to community stories, projects, nonprofits, So just to sort of give you an idea, we've had Hollywood folks on there like Melissa Peterman from the Singing Bee, and she's got a new show on the CMT, Working Class was on. And then we have folks on there, for example, like Dana, and Dana has an organization where she helps foster kids because she, too, went through the foster care system, so that's been something mm-hmm. that's laid on her heart. And then Michael and I do stories that are breaking news. So, for example, I think it was about a month ago, there was a young lady who was missing Debbie Flores in mm-hmm. In Las Vegas. She was a Las Vegas beautiful dancer who was missing, but the end result was her boyfriend ended up murdering her, and they found her body. Oh. So her sister came on our show, Celeste, to get the word out when they were trying to find her, and she went missing. So that was a fan. Kelsey McCall gave mm-hmm. me an email and said, "Hey, Victoria, I need your help. We've got to get this young lady on my show." So At Home with Victoria was great because that was breaking news, and we mm-hmm. were the first people, Daphne, to get that interview before the networks got it.
Wonderful.
So we did it that night, and then the next day, Good Morning America, CNN, and all the major networks got it. So I was very proud of us for getting that story.
Yes,
so we do a little bit, you know, we do a little bit of everything. For Christmas, we did a special on promoting small businesses, and the small businesses did very well. We were able to get them, sales and all of that good stuff. So we do a little bit of everything. But the end result is to make connections, is to continue with those connections. We'd like you to come on the show as many times as you've got things that are going on, and you literally become friends and family to At Home with Victoria.
Wonderful, wonderful. I must apologize. We have another caller, and I had my switchboard down, so I didn't see that. So I'm glad you told me in the chat room. Caller, you're on the air. Your first three digits are 717. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, Daphne and Victoria.
Hello.
This is Jay Brown. Hi, how are you? This is Jay Blair Brown, Ms. Jay Blair Brown.
Okay.
Hello.
Common mistake. Just wanted to applaud not just the show and its great host, but Victoria, you are such an inspiration. Our stories are similar in that, you know, you grow up in certain communities or certain environments where people just mm-hmm. want to hold you down. Mm-hmm. And I just refuse to be that person. I do not have a college degree. I only say that from the standpoint that a lot of people who did not have the opportunity to go to college sometimes mm-hmm. think, well, this is it. I'm just going to, you know, bag groceries or be a housekeeper mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm living mm-hmm. proof that is not necessarily the case. It takes extra work and effort, but it's certainly doable. I now run my own shop from home. Mm-hmm. I'm an author. I'm a PR and marketing exec and a freelance writer. Mm-hmm. So
that is wonderful. Hey, will you connect with me and find me on Facebook?
I certainly will.
And with myself as well, I would love to speak with you to see how I can add value to what you're doing and if there's anything we can cover.
Absolutely. I would certainly love to speak to you also, Michael Kay and I, because, you know, we're always doing so many things. And my goal in life is God gave me a voice, and that's the only thing really I know how to do is talk and smile. And if there's anything that I can do to help you and add value to what you're doing or have you on the show, so please make sure you connect with us.
Yes,
I certainly will. Thank you so much for taking the call.
Thank you so much. Oh, and Victoria, seeing that you mentioned smile, a friend of mine, she wanted me to ask you about that smile. She said, "Daphne, I look on that picture, and I don't know whether or not that was a smile or a laugh." I said to her, "Why don't you combine them? It's a little of both." But what a healthy, brilliant, energetic smile. I told Michael Kay yesterday, you know when someone is authentic because it shines through. And I guess get a lot of questions about your smile.
Yes, I do. And you and I had this conversation before we were on air. There are two questions that I always get from viewers and television news that they always want to know. First of all, they always want to know, are these really my teeth? So here's the real scoop. They are my teeth. I have never had them whitened. I have never had any, you know, caps or anything put on. All of these are my teeth. I was born with these teeth, and they are my teeth. I guess it's genetics, and God has blessed me to have a natural white smile. But, yeah, I've never had anything done to my teeth except for I had had two cavities in my lifetime that I had to take care of because I love sugar. But they are my teeth, and that also is my hair. People always ask me about that being my hair. So that's my hair, and that's also my teeth, yes. You know, Daphne, one of my dreams is to do a toothpaste commercial since I have such nice teeth. So I'm still working on making that work for me.
That's right. The dentists need to be rushing after you and also the toothpaste company. Where did the time go?
I know. Daphne, the next time I'll get Michael Kay to book you and you'll come, we'll bring the party over to my show and you'll come on my show and we'll continue the conversation.
Yes, I know. We got to have the sister back here. There is so much. I just enjoy your company. We have a mere 9 minutes remaining and I want to give you 6 minutes. As a matter of fact, 6 minutes. And to ask you to please just summarize our conversation. What do you want the listeners to recall this conversation? Give them a few high points, please.
Yeah, I would say the first part of the conversation that we talked about is being positive. So no matter what workplace you're in, just be positive. And, you know, if your employer says, hey, I need somebody to do this or I need somebody to do that, don't always look at it as something negative. You know, look at it as something new, a new experience that you're going to gain, a new set of skills that you're going to gain. Because you better believe me, when it comes to promotion and when it comes to all of the wonderful things that go on within companies, you will definitely stand out and not only be positive in the workplace, I would say, you know, be positive at home because there's nothing more that, you know, that makes it difficult when you're in a relationship is when your significant other and both of you are grumpy, you know, throughout the day and not supporting each other. So, you know, put a smile on your face and be positive and just give encouragement. And the second thing is the conversation that we talked about is somebody tells you that there's something that you can't do. Don't listen to them. You know, do whatever it is that you want to do, and don't look at it like as if you don't think that you were successful, that it was a failure. Every single thing that we do, whether, you know, we continue to do it, whether it doesn't work out, there is a life lesson. I do believe that's
right.
Learned in
lessons
all of those
lessons learned.
Things.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right.
There is a life lesson that's learned. And the third thing I think that you and I talked a lot about was just the importance of connecting also through social networking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there are two kinds of people that do social networking. They're the kind that do social networking who are kind of, oh, I'm just going to be on here, but, you know, it's not really, I'm not expecting to get much out of it. And then there's the kind like a Daphne who is maximizing social networking, you know, to enrich her life, her show, and every single thing around her and to meet all of these wonderful people. So I would say, you know, try to utilize social networking. So my thing is with social networking, if I add somebody and I see that they're talking crazy and just got this nonsense going on their page, then I'm going to delete you because if you're not
That's
adding
right.
value to me and my life
exactly.
and to my page and my friends, then mm-hmm. you really just don't need to be around me. And I think the last thing also is just to put yourself out there. You know, miracles aren't going to happen with you sitting at home with
That's
your
right.
feet propped up watching TV waiting for mm-hmm. something to happen. You've
mm-hmm.
got to put yourself out there if you want to see results and you want something to happen.
That's right. That's right. It's just so amazing that about the doors that social media has opened for us, but people are taking disadvantage of those opportunities. I, you know, it really grieves me when I open my page and see people put a lot of commercial on my page. They didn't say anything to me, and I've learned
right.
how to delete them now because it's not my page is not a marketing page. You know,
yeah.
if what you are doing supports my vision and it adds value to my friends, then I'll support it. But just don't put it there because you're looking to recruit somebody to do what mm-hmm. you're doing. And people are very selfish. You know, it was just yesterday someone on LinkedIn asked a question. She's part of the public speaking group. And she said, no one answers a question that is being asked here. I guess a couple of weeks ago, she had posed a discussion about how people are being compensated for public speakings, what's the fee to charge, and all of that. And I reply to her and I tell her, it's not so much about how much people charge as how it is important to know your story, know it well, and tell it well. Yeah. And I said, you know, when I'm considering fees, I'm not thinking about the time I'm spending. I'm thinking about the value that I'm adding to that time.
Absolutely.
And I said, my third point to you would be to stay in your lane, operate from your authenticity. And I said, when mm-hmm. you do that, you don't have to worry about your competition. Instead, your focus will be on your last performance. Because we are authentic, we don't have to worry about what the competition is doing.
Yes.
We just kind of try to bump up our effort on what we are doing.
Yeah. So, oh my goodness. I'm just so glad that Daphne that you said that, because that is something that I really do believe. I've never been this type of person, you know, who consider myself to be in competition. I'm in competition, but I'm in competition with Victoria. What another journalist does is what they do. I'm an individual. You know, God has laid certain things on my plate and my heart to do, and mm-hmm. which is different mm-hmm. from other people. So don't ever, measure yourself by what somebody else in your own industry is doing. If anything, you know, try to learn something from what they're doing, but don't
That's
measure
right.
yourself
Don't measure
that.
Your
yeah.
performances and that. Well, I tell you, news lady, it was a plump, pleasing pleasure, as my friend Les Brown would say. Oh, for this conversation, I just cannot have enough of you. And I just want to ask you, will you come back sometime?
I would love to come back and visit you. I would love to. And I, what's interesting is that I interview a lot of people, but it's very rare that people have the chance to interview me. So it's kind of fun being on the flip side. And we'll definitely make another date. And I would love to come back. And you make sure you tell me when you get down to the D.C. area, because I'm going to pull out all the stops for you.
Oh, thank you so much, my sister. It is such a privilege to learn from you and to watch what you are doing. And I want you to know that I'm here to serve and to add value. So whenever there's a need, I'm only an email or a tweet away. So please utilize
good.
Me. And I
thank
want
you
to thank
so much, Daphne.
You're very welcome. I want to thank all the people in the chat room. Thank you, Michael K., for stepping in and for helping me facilitate the Dream Room. Cheryl, Jay Blair, and all the other people, I thank you. I thank you. Please mark the show favorite. Share the link with others and come back. And remember that you have a destiny. Do not allow anyone to tell you otherwise. Stay blessed, and I love you all.
What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me, hallelujah, to my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me, hallelujah, and directing me. Speak to it, my destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with the slave. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with the slave. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know what I know what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations.